I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title for today's message is Seeking God's Kingdom First. And our text is Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. We're looking at three subheadings. The first one is our lives. The second one is creature life and plant. And the third one is practical application. Let us go to the text, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. I read, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you would eat or what you would drink, nor about your body, what you would put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Last week on the Sermon on the Mount, we looked at the lamp of the body, which is a common metaphor in the Aramaic language, which is actually referring to our spiritual eyes. When a baby is born into this world, it's born with physical eyes. The same thing happens spiritually when we are born again into the kingdom of Christ. We are born with spiritual eyes to enable us to discern between good and evil. And so when you have spiritual eyes, your whole life will be full of darkness, will be full of light. But when you have spiritual blindness, and then your whole life will be full of darkness. And so today we are looking at seeking God's kingdom first. In our daily practical living, we have seen how important it is to see with a single eye, which makes us realize that it is not possible to serve two masters. If we are living for God, it is going to show in our daily lives. And therefore Jesus tells his disciples not to worry about your life, which leads us this morning to our first subheading, our lives or your life, verse 25. Let's go to verse 25, Matthew chapter 6. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you would put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Jesus has just told us not to store up earthly treasures. But at the same time, we need to meet our needs, the needs of our lives, such as fish money, as we normally call it in Gambia, which means putting food on the table. We need to buy clothes, we need to buy shoes for ourselves and our children. And even our loved ones. We cannot afford to eat, buy clothes and shoes without money. And most of the time as Christians, we are tempted to worry. And so Jesus, in answer to this worry that we are tempted to, says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you would eat, drink, and what you would put on. First of all, we'd like to know what is worry in simple terms. It's a sense of uneasiness, anxiety, doubt, fear, and unbelief for the present and future circumstances of this life. A world affected by sin is a common place for fears and anxiety. Our doubts and unbelief is expressed in our fears. In spite of our faith, we are tempted and taunted with many fears and anxieties, even as Christians. Because the way of affliction and pain is difficult to bear. And so when Jesus said, do not worry, he's not saying that we should not set, we should not plan, or he's not telling us to sit all day and expect people to put food on our table. Say, where Jesus said, I should not worry. So let me just sit down with a lackadaisical attitude. An attitude that does not care about anything. That does not want to walk. Just want to sit down and people will be supplying you with things. That is not what Jesus meant. We have a duty as men to feed our families. Therefore, we should be industrious, like the ant in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 11, and 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. The Bible says, if we cannot provide for our families, we are worse than an infidel. The problem is when we are doing things out of fear for the future, doubt, and unbelief. Well, when the Bible says you should not worry about anything, you know, I've seen people who, because the Bible says they should not worry, they prefer to spend the whole week in the church and they expect dollars to fall from heaven. They go to church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and the pastor will be telling them, give $1,000 if you want to get $2,000. And that is one of the results of the poverty in Africa. That so many people are gravitating to the churches to get miracle money. Where, if you read the Bible, there is nothing like miracle money. Money has to be found by hard work. Go to the market and sell. Teacher, you go to the classroom and teach. Whatever you are doing, you do it diligently and God will bless the works of your hand. Many people have been deceived to go to a church and believe that the pastor will pray for you. You will give him money in the church and that money God will multiply it. So what you are supposed to do as a businessman, you are no more serious about it. You are just dependent on the prayer of the evangelist or the pastor who has deceived you into believing that if you sow a seed of $1,000 seeds, your business, you get $10,000, you will get $20,000. I know most of us have heard these kind of things. It's not strange here in the Gambia where we live. But this is a warning. That was not what Jesus did not mean. When he said, do not worry, it does not mean for you to be like a lackadaisical or nonchalant in your behavior, looking for people to give you money or looking for money to come from heaven to you because you are sowing seed in the church. The problem is when we are doing things as Christians, if we do it out of fear, doubt, and unbelief, then that is worry in our lives. fear of the present, fear of tomorrow, and we are living a life that is unpleasing to God. When the pressures of this life overwhelm us to a point of distrusting God, living in sinful fear and anxiety, worrying about what will happen, distrusting God will tempt us to overwork and even be workaholics. Some people, because they know they don't trust God, they spend all their time looking for money. On a Lord's day like this, they will not come to the assembly of God's people. They are out there looking for money. They don't have time for rest. Even when God says that we should rest on a day like this, and we should not engage in our personal enjoyments and gratifications, but we should dedicate a day like this to the public and private worship of God in our thoughts, words, deeds, actions, and all that we do to bring glory and honor unto Him. A lot of people, because they are seeking after the things of this world, they don't have time to pray, they don't have time to study the Word, they don't have time to meditate upon God's Word. Fear and anxiety, worrying about what to eat, drink, and wear, and our future tomorrow may tempt us to act unjustly in financial matters and try to manipulate people, manipulate relationships. You could even have a relationship in your marriage with another man based on financial favors because you don't trust that God will put food on your table. Some have put too much emphasis on their education, savings, as if life ultimately depends on these things. I am not saying that you should not save. A good steward should learn how to be saving money for himself, so that during the rainy day, he will have where to go and get money to solve his family issues or his own personal issues that confront him. But you cannot put your trust in the money in the bank or how much wealth you have. I'll come to that and give you examples. Some have put too much emphasis on their education. I've seen people, because of trying to be educated, they don't even honor God on the Lord's Day anymore. They engage in their own personal gratifications, their own personal issues, as if life ultimately depends on these things. And to answer these questions, Jesus said, do not worry. Do not worry about your life, what you would eat, drink, wear, and tomorrow. Some will say, well, you see, time don't beat me. In other words, I am behind time. And therefore, they fight with all manner of sinful activities and behaviors to get what they want. And at the end of the day, they leave it behind. Jesus said, the Gentiles seek after such, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. In this world, we have an overemphasis on food, drink, and clothing. You see, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. The Bible says, these things that we are seeking, The Bible says, God knows that you need them. In other words, it is not bad for you to seek food, clothing, and shelter. They are basic necessities of life. It's not bad for you to be hardworking, looking for money. But when you overdo things, they become an abomination. When you put these things first instead of God in your life, they become idols. And that is what the unbelievers do. They will compromise everything because of their well-being and their own personal gain and profit. There is too much emphasis on food, drink, and clothing. I have seen people managing with little income, but have placed an overemphasis on food in such a way that when money comes into their home, they are almost in a hurry to consume everything. I was told of this woman, in one meal, let's say breakfast, you will use sardine, corned beef, and egg. Mix all together and make sandwich. If you come to the home, you will see the man, very hardworking, trying to bring money, trying to feed the children, trying to cater for them. But as soon as the money gets into the hand of the woman, she blows it up with extravagant living. And she would buy the most expensive wrapper and use it in the kitchen to cook. And only for the family to go hungry in the next couple of weeks. I have seen poor families wearing clothing that I cannot afford to buy, simply because that is what is trending. They don't mind to save up money or join Osusu, which is rotating savings for the accumulation. And when it is your turn to receive the Osusu money, you gather all the money to buy one material that costs $100 for 1 meter. I have seen someone who receives $3,000 per month buying a wrapper that costs $5,000, $6,000 for meter. And she was parading it before me. Do you want to buy? I said, thank you, ma. But this issue is particularly prevalent in Africa here. In Gambia, come to our weddings, come to our naming ceremonies, you will see Grand Buba. I don't know how they call the other ones. I'm not too interested in the names because I don't have an intention to buy any one of them. So I don't remember the names. But you know them as I'm speaking. Jesus said in response to all this, is not life more than food and body more than clothes? Clothing. If you want to buy things all the time, because some new fashion or something is trending that is very expensive. Then you are not careful in the using of your finances. And you value the things of this life. Place an attention on them more than what is needful. You have a phone, it's working for you. Nothing happens to it. But because there is a new fashion, you forsake that one. And you go for the one that is trending, that your pocket cannot afford. You don't mind to go and borrow money. Live according to what you have. We should not worry ourselves about what to eat, what to drink, what to put on. Worry will lead you to take matters of life into your own hands. We should take the burdens of our soul to God in prayer. God promises to supply our needs, not our greed or wants. What you want is different from what you need, moment by moment. And the antidote for worrying is seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. Making God's kingdom the center of our lives frees us from anxiety. And this comes with the promise that he will meet all our needs. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says God will supply all our need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. What you need is different from what you want. And in Philippians 4 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. God always takes care of his own, and therefore we need not worry. You can clearly see lack of faith in persistent fear, but we can trust in our Heavenly Father to provide for us. We should take God's kingdom as priority, seeking salvation in Christ alone, living in obedience to his word, sharing the good news of the gospel. God promised to take care of our needs. But in today's world, people are preoccupied with their needs and wants. That is what rules and master their lives. But for the Christian, we are called to live in a different way, knowing that God should be our ultimate treasure, and things of this world should not be our masters, as noted by Sinclair Ferguson. I quote, "The Christian is not indifferent to eating, drinking, or clothes. They are necessities for living in this world and in society, but they are never his masters. He has learned that he does not need to eat in the most fashionable restaurant in town or cook the most elegant meals in order to live life to the full. Nor does he need the latest fashion in clothes to feel accepted. Where it really matters, Jesus has taught him life is more than food and the body more than clothes." Close quote. How can we overcome worry about our lives? In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, the Bible says, "Casting all cares upon him, for he cares for you." We should not We should not be carrying around the weight of our problems. We should give God all our worries and concerns because He cares for us. But if you are an unrepentant sinner, worry and anxiety is part of your daily life. That is why you can't sleep at night. Your life is overwhelmed by worry and anxiety. You cannot overcome it. And your only way out is to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you who believe, those who have already trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls, when worry comes to you, because we are not exempted from it, when you are worried, devastated, full of anxiety, unbelief, and doubt, this promise is for you. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. This is for the Christian. To 30. He said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We can trust God today. We don't have to worry about our daily provisions because God is trustworthy as our provider. We can come to God for our daily needs in prayer. You will find rest for your soul. You see, the unbelievers, they don't have rest for their souls. You can see them. The way they live their lives. In extravagant. They go to the extreme and try to do things beyond proportion. They are not confident of themselves. That there is a God who made them. They go and overdo things. They are so much occupied, preoccupied with the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the deceitfulness of riches. But you, Christian, we have to be different. It says, this is the way of peace. But the devil has deceived them and given them all kinds of lies. And so most women today are preoccupied with beauty. You know, I'm not saying that you should be dressing like the Puritans who lived long, 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 long time ago. What I'm saying is when your focus, your attention is deviated from God and is put on these other things that are not necessary. We have seen women undergoing all kinds of surgery, adding to their own physical bodies things that they don't have naturally, looking for artificial breasts, artificial things, putting them all over. But the Bible says the beauty of the woman lies in her character. Yes, sir. And that is what the Christian should focus on. You have to look good, but your focus should be on your character. Because that is what will build your home and your marriage. Nothing else. Is that your character. how you will relate to the man or the woman that you are going to live with the rest of your life. But if your focus is on other things, then you have a wrong focus. And so, Jesus wants us not to worry ourselves about all these things. What to eat, what to drink, and what we put on. And even tomorrow, we should not worry about tomorrow. People are so worried about tomorrow, they'll spend all their time, all their day thinking of tomorrow. They become restless, they become preoccupied with evil, just so that their tomorrow can be pleasant. Why, you don't even know what tomorrow would bring? That leads us to our second subheading this morning, the lower creature life and plants, verse 26 to 29. It says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. In verses 26 to 29, Jesus pointed out the lower creature life and plants. The birds of the air, the lilies of the field, and how God cares for them. These are the lesser things of creation. But God shows utmost care for this lesser creation. How much more those of us who are children of God by creation as well as in covenant. We should trust God the more that He would care and provide for His children. In order to alleviate sinful anxiety, look at God's care towards the birds of the air. For they neither sow, the Bible says, nor reap, nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then when you come to the lilies of the field, they neither toil nor spin. But the Bible says, but not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like these ones. This is meant for you to think through these examples of creature life and plants in providence. One day I was sitting outside, and these birds came to pick food from the place outside the house that have been neatly swept. As you are looking at this place, that was how the place was swept. And I did not remember that at any point we throw anything there like seeds for them to go and be picking and eating from that ground. But every day these birds will come to that place and begin to eat, as if we prepare them a supper there. And I asked myself, I said, what are they actually picking from the ground? What are they eating there? Because I cannot see anything. The place had been thoroughly swept. And I wonder what they were eating. It's amazing when you see the sovereignty of God in providence and how He takes care of these birds. They don't lack. And so that day when I saw that remarkable providence in the creature lives, I begin to think about Matthew 6, where the Bible gives us an example that do not worry. And I tell you, that day, the lesson I learned from those bats just took my worries away. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Look at the birds. Look at the plants that are here today, and tomorrow they are thrown into the fire. But look at how beautiful nature is. Just look around you. You see the mango tree. You see how beautiful. It is time for the fruits to come out. We begin to see the flowers. God has invested a lot of beauty in nature that speaks of his all-powerfulness and great love. So when we look at these things, they should be preaching the gospel to us. We need the gospel every day in our lives to be saved from ourselves, from the sins of this world, and the darkness that surrounds us. In Romans 12, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you are depressed, begin to think about the word of God and meditate upon it. Look at divine providence in the example of the birds and plants. Think of God's goodness in your life, and that will take anxiety and worry away from you. If God did that with these lower creatures, he would definitely also provide for us and show us utmost care. Worrying does nothing to your present predicament. In fact, it does not add a cubit to your status. That's what the Bible says. Much more solve the problem. In fact, it worsens your problem by giving you stress in addition to the food and clothing problem that you are having. In Psalms 37 verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Now, this scripture can be brought home here and now, as we looked at the Gambian situation. When you go out in the street, how do the beggars normally beg? I don't know if you are familiar with it, but most of the time, it is Seriala. I have never come across a Christian begging in the streets in the name of Jesus. ninety-9% of the beggars in this country are coming from other faiths. Because many Christians have come to realize that God in providence is taking care of them. I have never seen where Christians go around begging. Even those who are poor, don't do that. They prefer to ask their fellow believer in Christ or someone to help them when they are in need. The practice of begging in the streets is native to other religions, but not Christianity. I was told of a crippled brother that was living here. This crippled brother was asked if he cannot go into begging because it's a lucrative profession here. The brother said, "Pastor, instead of me begging, I'd go out there and sell to survive." And I was intrigued and amazed at the answer of this fellow. And most of the time, I'll see him along the streets doing business to hand money for himself. He said that I will not be a beggar. I want to earn my own living. He must have read the Bible. Said God will supply our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Never seen the righteous forsaken, nor is he begging bread. He must have read the Bible. You hear of stories of fellow Christians in war-torn countries and how they are kept providentially every day from one day to the other. They have food to eat in a place where there is no market. Nobody is selling. Everybody is running helter-skelter for ease of our life. But you hear testimonies. I come here and all of a sudden I met people cooking, and that's how I ate for that day. I ran again. I went to the other point. Everybody was running, leaving their properties behind. And I went, I saw a pot of stew on the kitchen. People left and run. That's how I fed myself that day. God is our provider, and he will provide our daily bread. Because he loved us and places more value in us than the birds and the lilies of the field. You can be financially poor, but no matter what, God will provide the daily bread of his children. And sometimes God will just want you to eat gari, that is all. I've heard of people who say gari is a sign of poverty and say they will never eat gari in their life, as if they are the owner of their own destiny. In this life, when things will just turn around at any time, you should be ready for anything. But anything can come. We are the people not rejoicing and singing and partying in Israel, when all of a sudden a bomb came from nowhere and killed thousands. Unprecedented. Do they plan it? In life, whatever will be, will be. Let your trust be in the Almighty God, not in things. You can be financially poor, but whatever God gives you to eat that day is food. Even if it's tapalapa, it's food. Some say, if I don't eat rice, I'm not eating. Go to other countries and see their diet. You have people, their own diet is bread. It's because you are not used to it. Eating tapalapa for the day does not mean that you did not eat anything that day. And this promise, I want to make it emphatically clear, cannot be used as a yardstick for financial prosperity. Because God distinguishes in the Bible what we need and what we want. What we want could be a big house, but what we need could be a room and a parlor. Because God supplies our needs, not our wants. Sometimes we may see our need as financial prosperity. This is what we may see our wants, as financial prosperity, or even our need, we may see that this is what I need. But perhaps God knows that what you truly need is a time of poverty. Loss of solitude. God's love does not exempt Job and Elijah to suffer. But in all this, his sovereign hand of providence sustains them. They look to Christ and they were sustained. You have a lot of Christians who believe that if you are not financially prosperous, you are not blessed. That is a lie from the devil. Because Jesus Christ was not financially prosperous. He was not financially rich. The apostles were not financially rich. In fact, he said the Son of Man does not even have a place to lay his head. God can choose to bless anyone with financial prosperity, but it's not a yardstick to measure God's blessing. He did that with Abraham. He blessed him. He prospered. But look at the life of Abraham. He used his wealth to serve people and to serve God. So when God blesses the believer, that blessing is for you to use it in the service of God, to be generous, to give to people in their need, to share with one another. But not to parade it as a sign of blessing, as if you deserve it. None of us deserve the blessing of God. We are undeserved sinners. God chose to bless us. We should honor Him and not ourselves. Sometimes what you need is solitude. Christ and the apostles suffered a lot while they were here on earth. And throughout the church age, we have seen ministers of the gospel going through troubled times and challenging circumstances. For the Bible says, through many tribulations we shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But your life should be revolved, centered in God, in Christ Jesus. That is the only way of safety, and that is the only joy, and that is what your soul needs. Finally, this morning, practical application, verse 30 to 34. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself, its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In verses 30 to 34, Jesus gives reasons why we should not worry. If he does care for plants in short a manner, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Pagans seek for such desperately and without caution. But for you Christian, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So these are things, you don't throw them out of the window. Like I was told of a Christian, that because he was told in the church that you should not be like the people of the world, he cannot distinguish between what is modest and what is not modest. So he began to look at jeans as worldliness, like the jeans some people are wearing, as worldliness. So he took away all his jeans and burned them. The clothes that he was wearing, some of which he looked at and said, these are all worldly. He took all away and gave them away, until he started going to church with only one shoe, one trousers, and one clothes. That was not necessary. Because worldliness does not mean that you should not wear jeans. In fact, worldliness starts with the intention of your heart and it portrays outside. You should dress modestly, not like people who lived long, long, long time ago. But you should not overdo things. Do things moderately to the honor and glory of God. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. So they are needs. They are not bad. They are needs. It's the way you handle them that matters. The difference is clear. The pagans as well as Christians need these things. We all need food, clothing. But if you want to eat every time at La Parison, where one meal, one ice cream, small one like this is $200. While you can have a bowl of it at the supermarket for $200. The one in La Parison, it's like butterscotch. If that is where you want to go all the time, because you now have money, so you must change location. We must trust God. The pagans, this is what they seek after. You see one shoe, and sometimes when I look at the lives of some people, because they are rich and where they go and shop, I wonder what they are thinking about humanity. Because if just one clothes cost you $20,000. Why would you buy short? Just for this body that is today, here and tomorrow gone? What difference does it make by putting it on? Except for the eyes of men. We all need them, but some people have put over emphasis on things that are not needful. Trusting in the Lord help us to overcome sinful fear. Seeking God's kingdom first as priority over all things, because it has greater value than all the riches in this world. We should spend our time and energy on activities that has eternal value. All other things in our lives should be secondary. As believers, when you have a need, you come to God. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Matthew 11:28. You do not come murmuring and complaining, feeling very awful and sad, but you come trusting in the promises of God that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Matthew 28:19. Focus on the kingdom of God, not what to eat, drink, and wear, no matter how tight things are. Depend on Him as you go about your daily work and means of finding your daily bread. God will never fail you. And Jesus talks about tomorrow. Some people are anxiously focused on the future. They hardly have time for the present. The Bible says God holds tomorrow, not you. Worrying will not change your destiny. The decrees of God cannot be altered. They are forever the same. God cannot change His plan for you. He has only one plan for you, and that is what you are going to walk through throughout the days of your life. It does not have plan B as human beings. No, it doesn't. God's people must live one day at a time. No problems to plan for the future. Some will try to go to the back way to change, and after their to alter their future for good. But that is impossible. Your future is in the hand of God. In the wilderness, the children of Israel disbelieved and disobeyed God. With the manna from heaven, they were told to live one day at a time, and they learned that lesson. The manna was only for one day. When you worry and decide to keep for the next day, all the manna got spoiled because they kept it. God said you should not keep it one day at a time. Today has its own troubles already. Do not add tomorrow to it. God, who is present with you today, is also with you tomorrow. He's the God of yesterday, today, and forever. Learn to truly put your trust in God. That is seeking the kingdom of God first. God promises to provide and supply your needs. Have good plans for the future, but do not rest your confidence on those plans. Rest your confidence in God. Amen. A man had a very good plan. That was a good plan. It's not evil to plan or save money for the future. It's not a bad thing. It's a good one. But you don't know the eventuality. God knows tomorrow. He had planned to pay for himself throughout his seminary. And he has planned to be giving fish money to put food on the table for his family throughout the years of his seminary. He had saved all the money in the bank. That was good. It was perfect. Nobody should stop you to do that. because you are doing it for the rainy day. But what happens? Everything was turned upside down. When he entered into the seminary, the wife fell ill, seriously sick. He was admitted. And this man had to spend all the money he had saved into the sickness of the wife. That was how he came into the seminary bankrupt. It was during prayer in the morning, while they were praying and worshiping God, that somebody walked up to him and gave him the first school fees plus change for the first year. He paid for him while he was still attending to the problems of the wife. But you see, the money solved a problem. He was able to use it for the medication. That was good and perfect. Imagine he does not have the money. It would have been two problems. But at least his savings have reduced one. So it's not bad for you to save. It's for the rainy day. But you don't know tomorrow. So if you bank on that money, and the bank, you don't know what will come and clear it up. Anything can happen. We must be prepared. Because Christians are not exempted from suffering, from pain and disaster. We are not. The only thing that we are assured of, God will give us the courage and the strength. Though I walk through the shadow and the valley of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil and my cup runneth over. Those are the promises of God's divine presence, God's divine love and care bestowed upon the believer, even in the time of sour, bitter providences. That is the promise. But it doesn't say that you will not walk through the valley of shadow of death, no. It does not say, no, that you are exempted from the trouble, no. If you have lived for some time, you know that you are not exempted from problem. Just your own personal life experience. So if a pastor comes and lies to you and tells you that you are exempted, you better think twice. Because you've been a Christian for this long, you have testimony of suffering and persecution. That if you begin to tell it, we will not close for the service. Some other people had to take care of this pastor throughout his seminary life. But God did not stop him from going through seminary. Money did not stop him. He went through the seminary life, graduated, while the family was taken care of. Sometimes we are so preoccupied with the future that we forget the present. Our commitment to God, our love for God, our service to Him, we put it aside. The father bought an acre of land for his son. Said, my son, this is what you're going to inherit when I passed on. He will bring the son from time to time, show him the land. This is all yours. When I pass on, this is what you're going to inherit. And when the father passed on, the mother took the land and sold everything. Put all the money in her pocket. The son did not see a butut. Sometimes we make things for our children. The providence will even take them somewhere else. Some of us, we have lands, houses in Sierra Leone, but providence brought us to Gambia.
Yes, sir.
And peradventure, we're going to live the rest of our lives here, and they're even going to bury some of us here.
Yes, sir.
You never go back and even see the land again twice. So we must learn to trust God for our children, for everything in this life. Because God is the God of providence. When you have a child, don't think that you are the Lord all of that child. You are going to make everything beautiful for that child. Just play your part. As a parent, the most valuable thing that you can give to your children is the word of God. That is eternal. Not houses or whatever, lands or whatever. When they have the word of God, even if you give them a land, they will take good care of it. But look at a mother who is selfish, who does not care what the father's will was. They decide to sell the property that was meant for a son. He took the money to herself. That is what the world will offer you. Sin, evil. But in Christ we have salvation. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Put your trust in him. If you have not trusted him for the salvation of your soul, then now is the time to do that. And how? Repent of your sins. Turn away from them and put your faith in the Lord Jesus to save you from the wrath of a holy God, from your own sinful self, and from this evil world, so that he can reconcile you to God through the gospel, give you a peaceful reconciliation with God, thereby giving you a new life and a new way of living, so that this world will not become your treasure. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Because this world is vanity of vanities. And I pray God, and I ask God, Lord, please help me to bring up my children the way and the manner of the Lord.
Amen.
Whatever else that I can do for them, let it just be an addition. But the most important thing I want them to get is the word of God. Let us pray. Our most gracious and everlasting Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We ask for grace to take heed of all your commandments, warnings, promises, and good examples to follow. Give us today our daily spiritual bread, and give us grace to forgive at all times. Pray that your word will have a free course in our lives and be glorified. Bless our going out and coming in this morning as we, Lord, honor the Lord's day by coming to the worship of the Lord. We pray that this word will abide with us forever. I will meditate upon it. Your goodness and love that is shown to us in Christ. These and many other masses we ask through your Son's name and for his sake.
Amen.